Pradyumna. I'm sorry, man. We're the last two in the library. Several empty wine bottles sit between us on the table. Peter is clearly heartbroken to be going home so soon. I can locate where that feeling would exist, I think, though I've never actually felt it. Heartbreak is for people who don't have my kind of resources. I just can't believe I did that to her. He looks down into his empty glass like he's committed a crime for which there will be no repentance.
What, to Betsy?
I scoff.
She ate a little salt. She'll survive.
Honestly, the way these people treat that woman like she is some sort of deity is a bit much. I didn't really watch Bake Week before I got here. I never quite understood the obsession. It's a cute enough show, but not really my idea of entertainment. I like my television to have a bit more edge, an explosion or two. Something to keep me engaged or I'll get bored. I've moved on to wine and reach for a fresh bottle, inspecting the label.
Care for some more wine?
This is a lovely Montepulciano. I open it and offer Peter the bottle, but he shakes his head.
Suit yourself,
I say. He watches the ruby liquid slosh into my glass and shrugs, lifting his glass up in surrender.
I guess why not have another, right? Might as well enjoy my last night here. It's not like I have to bake tomorrow or anything.
That's the spirit. I fill him up. Peter leans back, looking into the fire.
Too bad. I finally figure out the house and it's no longer useful. What do you mean?
I perk up. He glances behind him at the door and then leans forward as if he is going to impart some sort of confidential information.
Well, I didn't want to tell the others, but you know how the stairs don't go past the third floor?
He asks, his voice hushed. I shake my head eagerly. I have to say, I'm intrigued by Peter's little mystery.
Yes, it doesn't make sense. I was noticing that while I was walking around the other night.
Exactly. Well, I had this theory that the staircase exists. I mean, it must.
Well, after dinner, Gerald showed me these blueprints he'd brought to Grafton, and I was right. According to the plans, there are stairs at the end of the hall. But now it's just a wall.
You mean that hallway our rooms are on? The dead end?
Peter nods.
You think the stairs might be there still?
Unless they took them out completely.
You think they would have done that?
It's possible, but it wouldn't make much sense. You'd want to be able to have a way to reach that floor just for safety. You can't just leave part of a house to decay.
Do you think there's a way up inside the east wing?
I suppose there could be an entrance there. Impossible to say, really.
He looks like he is losing interest. His eyes are glassy and tired. Mentally, he is already packing his bags, planning his route home. In the fireplace, the last flame snuffs out, leaving just a few glowing embers. The clock above the mantel says it's just after midnight. The others have all gone to bed, each of them nervous about the competition tomorrow. Funny, I feel no anxiety about it at all. I rarely do. Sometimes I wonder if that should worry me, if I have some sort of deficiency.
Peter groans. I better get to bed. Long drive in the morning.
He pulls himself up off the sofa. Though I know it is probably expected of me, I make no move to follow.
You go ahead. I'll be up soon. I'm a bit of an insomniac.
Still, I suppose bed is in the cards for me. I pour just a pinky finger of scotch into my empty wine glass. Betsy Martin really does know how to stock a liquor cabinet, and retreat down the hall toward my room. I may not be a longtime fan of Bake Week, even if I do truly enjoy the satisfaction of a well-constructed bake. But this whole experience, temporary lodging in a manor, TV appearances, interacting with a group of strangers, it's too novel to ignore all the trappings for the sake of competition. This is the fun part. Winning would be lovely, but my imperative is to appreciate this experience while I've got it. I walk slowly, admiring the art on the walls as I sip. Most of it is not my thing, honestly. If I'm going to go mainstream, I prefer edgier work, your Cindy Shermans and Anselm Kiefers. This feels very colonial. Lots of sheep in meadows with mansions in the distance. Women in unflattering dresses staring pensively out of the canvas. One painting gives me pause. A smallish canvas painted in rich, dark hues with visible brush strokes that show the confidence of the painter. At first, it doesn't seem like much, subject-wise.
It's just a portrait of a woman. She sits in a high-backed chair, her fingers long and bony, clutching tensely at the arms. It is her face that is most intriguing. The mouth, heart-shaped and delicate, is at rest, but the eyes are hard and intense, the chin tilted as though in challenge to the artist, almost as if there is cold fury lurking beneath them. Stranger still, I realize that I find this woman somehow familiar. I will have to ask the others what they think tomorrow. I carry on to my room, past the vacant stare of the suits of armor and up the main staircase to where the stairs split off in two directions. To the left, the door to Betsy Martin's east wing quarters beckons me with its twisted brass door handles. I take the steps up toward them, tempted. With a sigh, I turn back to the landing, carrying on to the guest wing. I'm just about to open the door to my room when I see a figure crossing the hall ahead. The person is wearing a long robe and moves from left to right and back again, zigzagging their way down the hallway. I wonder at first if they are drunk, but their movements are purposeful, not sloppy. Their hands reach out, skimming the wall, then turning and doing the same on the other side. I move up behind them, ducking into a doorway to better observe. Now that I'm closer, I can see the puff of gray hair. I thought Lottie went up to bed hours ago. I wonder for a moment if she is sleepwalking, but she turns her head, glancing down the hallway as if afraid of being caught. I press myself farther back inside the doorframe. She turns back and walks away from me silently down the hallway. Occasionally, she stops to just put her hand against a wall and leave it there. I continue to watch her move down the hallway, trailing her fingers on the wall. What on earth is she doing? I think of what Peter said about the missing stairwell. Could she have overheard us? I'm tempted to step out into the hallway and say something, but I don't want to startle her. Plus, I have a pleasant buzzing in my head, and I know that sleep, for once, will come easy. I'll leave it until the morning. I turn back to my room and tip back my glass, letting the rest of the beautiful scotch dissolve around my tongue.